Hey, this podcast replay, it's brought to you by Sports Grill with 7 great locations. Check out the Bird Road and Miami Lakes locations. Sports Grill is the home to the legendary Sports Grilled Wings, and catch our Dolphins pre- and post-game shows at the Miami Lakes and Bird Road locations for the 2021 season.
There he is, the man, the myth, the legend. That is Alan Poupart. There you go. By the way, true Finn fan, thank you, sir. Appreciate the love on the super chat. He enjoyed the video or the sound. And thank you to Preston Sampson. Also, a little love on the super chat. Says, couldn't survive Dolphin season without you being in Maryland. Well, hopefully we'll be in Maryland one day doing a show on a Dolphin bar somewhere in Maryland. So how you doing, my man? How you doing? You feeling good?
Actually, I think I'm feeling a little offended since you're asking for people to name their true YSF just before you introduce me.
Yes, and well, Bill Clinton is there. Snyder is there. The Patriots owner is there.
One over your head. It's all right. One over your head.
You asked, right? Hunter Biden is on the list. Brady. Why would you call Brady a YSF? Epstein, okay. You know, there you go. Tristan Thompson. Yeah, that would Urban Meyer. That's a good one right there. You asked, right? Okay. You got any suggestions?
No, you're asking for fans. You're asking for fans right before you're you introduce me, hence the connection. That went over your head, or I didn't deliver the
No. I would never do that. That's not what I was insinuating. Okay.
I know.
But you are kind of sick. You still live with your Montreal Expos hat. You won't let it go. So that's kind of sick there, right there, right? But at least it's not
Washington.
I don't
sleep with it, by the way. I don't sleep with it. You'll be proud to know.
All right. So talk to me. Skylar Thompson has pretty much just ruined every shot of hiding him on the practice squad almost. Are we almost there?
We're getting there. We're getting there. He looked very good. He's handled every assignment. He's never looked like he's been out of place. I wouldn't necessarily, I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Let's be honest and look at the throws that he made against Tampa Bay. I would tip my hat off a lot more to the scheming than I would to like fabulous throws, because they weren't a whole lot of really difficult throws. You look at all the completions, the guys are open by 5 yards. So from that standpoint, but having said that, yeah, absolutely. He's handled every single solitary assignment.
But the difference is you've been at practice where you've watched them make throws in small windows too, that you're like, holy shit. Like, he's made the holy shit throws too. You're right. They weren't holy shit throws on Saturday night. They were completed, kid. The play was called for you. Everything's set up, but he did complete it at least. And so that's good. But the holy shit throws have been there also. And they were there also against Tampa in practices, by the way. Right? He did throw one on the second day, I think it was. Wasn't it on the second day that he had a deep throw?
The Skylar Thompson throws I remember at practice. He's got a couple that are really glaring in my mind. So to me, I've been more impressed with what I've seen in practice and than the game itself. And I know the stat, like the most passing yards by a Dolphin rookie quarterback since 1991. Well, how many Dolphin rookie quarterbacks have played the entire game in the preseason? So again, to me, more the practices than what I saw on Saturday night. And it's like, I think maybe it's been understated what he's done in practices, where I think it was a bit overstated what he did in the game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I completely understand what you're saying. But look, to me, it kind of looks like the Reed Sinnott situation where, you know, and Reed, by the way, played well this weekend. He went 9 of 17 for 81 yards and a touchdown. Minshew did not drive him for a touchdown. He did. So I guess he's in a battle for the second spot. So they still have him there as a developmental guy. And I personally love having a developmental guy on the roster. I think you should always be drafting quarterbacks. But football changed about 15, 20 years ago, where they said no more of the third quarterback. We're going to go mainly with two, and maybe the third guy will be on the practice squad. Whereas you and I grew up with, hell, teams had three and sometimes even a fourth guy on the damn roster overall, because they were always developing a young guy. And it seems like philosophically, this is something this front office wants to do, because they were trying to do it with Reed, and now they're trying to do it with this kid. So it looks like it's an MO of theirs, by the way.
No, well, but if they valued Reed as much as we'd like to think, they would never would have exposed him to waivers, which is
maybe they thought they were going to get him through the waivers.
Then their intel was bad. This is why. Look, I'm not telling you it's a slam dunk that he would get picked up if they do waive him among the final cuts and try to sneak him back on practice squad. The question is, do you want to take that chance? Do you like him enough to sacrifice a roster spot? And
I'm kind of
in the middle here, but I'm kind of starting to maybe lean a little bit.
Well, here's what I explained on Saturday night after the game, where this all changes, and philosophically, this also has to change. This bullshit has to change. Last year, you thought you could have the luxury of having backup players that could not help you on special teams. That shit has to end, dude. That limits your football team. And so if you want to keep this kid on the 53, you can't do the shit with the Albert Wilsons of the world and the Preston Williams. And you cannot keep either corners or receivers or running backs or linebackers at the back end of that roster that aren't helping you on special teams. And that's why the Lynn Bowden appearance was really important, you know, because he helped you on special teams also, not just as a wide receiver. And so I think it's now, if you're going to keep this kid on the roster, it's imperative that the back end of those positions that I talked about, that those guys are two-way guys, that they're just not playing one position, because then you're really hurting your football team.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Bowden, because to me, forget about the three catches for 59 yards, the 22-yard touchdown, the 20-to-29-yard catch early in the third quarter. The fact that he returned both punts and kickoffs and had a success with each was huge, because now you can
questionable on the punt one. You probably shouldn't have caught it there inside. Wasn't it like inside the six or five or something like that?
No.
Wasn't his – are you sure?
Yeah, it was around the 20-yard line that he caught, and he had like an 18-yard return. I mean, maybe it may even have been the 30, the 25 or the 30. What, it was not inside. Uh-uh.
Okay, so it wasn't him, then I confused it with somebody else then? Did somebody catch one that I was like – I thought it was him.
It may have been a fair catch. Late in the game? Oh, yeah. Was it him? I don't know, but it was a fair catch.
I don't know why I thought it was him. Oh, it was a fair catch. Well, then it wasn't him, because I think he only had one catch. That would have hurt his average. Or no, well, fair
catch. Fair catch doesn't go against the average. I'll look at the play.
I think it was him. That's the only one that, but he made plays.
Correct. And punt returns.
You know.
I am pulling it up right now.
And it's what we viewed in him. When we saw him, it was like, okay, this guy could be like a multi-versatile type of guy, and he showed that on Saturday night, which, by the way, I also said this on Saturday night. The guy that liked Preston Williams' tweet is the guy that ended up getting Preston Williams cut on Saturday night, because he just cut Preston Williams on Saturday night. Preston Williams is done. That's it.
I think
it was too late for him.
He was dressed for her.
I get it, but this was like the nail in the coffin. You know, he was going out the door with him. And all of a sudden it was like, now we're going to close the door behind you, Preston. I'm staying in here with the rest of the guys.
Yeah, but you don't think. Yeah, but when he liked the tweet, I don't think it was so much, I got your back, Preston. It was like, yeah, me too. I want an opportunity. And by the way, I just checked. You're correct. It was Bowden who made a fair catch at the 5-yard line, which is not ideal.
Right. That's the only thing that I would like. Oh, well, you know, maybe kid, you might not want to do that one. But no, outside of that, I get it. He wants to make plays. He's like a desperate animal in a corner. That's what he was on Saturday night. And he came out with his fangs out and ready. And I give him credit. You know, that's what you got to do in those kind of positions, man, is fight through it.
Yep. No, yeah. I had him clearly trailing River Craycraft for the sixth spot if the Dolphins keep six. Now, after Saturday, I think he jumped ahead of him.
Yeah, and I think if he shows a little bit more on the special team side, which is what you highlighted, he knocks Craycraft out because he's a superior athlete to Craycraft.
And that's the difference. And they have enough guys who can help out on special teams where you don't need to keep Craycraft just because of that. They have a lot of guys who can
play. No, you have a better Craycraft in Sherfield.
Correct.
Craycraft is almost like the poor man's version of Sherfield. So you're okay. Well, he's a good all around player. If these other cats don't show and we need a sixth guy, then Craycraft might be able to the guy that makes the cut. But Lynn now put himself in that spot there. Will Preston be one of those cuts from 90 to 85 on Tuesday?
No, but I would expect like Devontae Dedmon, the CFL import who was signed as a returner. I think he very well might be one of those. Remember, they were at 89. Now they got down to 88 after the Shaheen trade. Now they're back to 89. My guess is Trill Williams winds up on IR. That's one move. I think Deadman's probably doesn't last a week. I mean, he had one kickoff return. He wound up fumbling at the end of it, and it was a 20-yard return with nothing special about it. And he fumbled at the end of the play, even though the Dolphins did recover. And Dolphins have other options as a returner. He needed to wow and quickly and significantly, and he didn't. So if a wide receiver goes to me, he's the one who's going to go.
Okay. Sounds kind of, I don't know, maybe a little over the top. Is this the most important week of Noah Igbinoghi's career pretty much? Because if you're going to have dress rehearsals, it sounds like it's not going to be this week. It might be week three where they're going to have dress rehearsal. So if you're going to have dress rehearsal, you're not going to be a part of dress rehearsal. It'll be more the starters, if anything. And you haven't shown enough progress. Do you need to, you know, make people notice you this week in order for you to be in the mix in the future? Or you don't think this week is it done pretty much for him? How do you view where Noah is at right now in trying to catch the attention of these coaches?
Yeah, no, he's not in a good place right now. I think they're going to be fighting like crazy, you know, not to let him go. It was interesting. I asked Mike McDaniel the day after press conference.
I saw it.
I was kind of trying to get him to say the coach is never going to say who was to blame. But if you saw that touchdown, I mean, it's him and Brandon Jones, and they basically let a guy run a deep end between them, and neither of them bothered to cover them. And
you can literally blame it on both because neither one is trustworthy yet in coverage. You know what I'm saying? So right. I don't know what the responsibilities really were there.
Right.
And so I'm not exactly sure. And I know the coach, oh, it's my fault. They haven't played enough together to know the communication. And so I give the coach all the credit in the world. He wants to lay on the sword. Go ahead and lay on the sword. But you know, it's an issue for both guys, actually. Really.
Let's correct. And this is where a site like Pro Football Focus, for example, should be taken not necessarily as gospel because they assigned that touchdown against Igbinoghi. And I'm not ready to say for sure that, you know, they were equally to blame. I don't know what the assignment was on the play. The coaches know. They're not going to tell us that because they're not going to throw anybody under the bus. but there was also one-on-one stuff that where you could tell it was him was beaten badly. There was one play in the two-minute drill against Tampa Bay, where he was beaten pretty soundly. I don't put much stock in the one-on-one drill. I know that made the highlight where the guy did an inside-outside move on him. Again, one-on-one passing drill where you have to cover half the field. That's you start evaluating cornerbacks off of that, I think you got a problem. But clearly, Trill Williams was by far your fourth cornerback before he got hurt. That's not even close. Keon Crossan is also is also ahead of Noah. They're going to work out some cornerbacks. And then at some point,
I saw your guy that I forgot his name now that helps you on the site. Wrote an article about. Yes, he wrote a good article and added a whole bunch of names there. The only thing that I kind of get the feeling from these guys, and I'm talking about the front office, they're probably going to try to find a young guy, not a veteran, because I don't think those veterans are going to be happy sitting on the bench and waiting and biding their time. I think they're going to try to look for a young guy or a young guy that's available or one of the early cuts coming up here where a guy that they, because there's probably two or three guys they're eyeing right now that they like that could be borderline guys for other teams. And they're like, yeah, this is a guy that we like that maybe we can get something out of him. So I almost think it's in that direction, not the, what are those names? The Xavier Rhodes, the Chris Harris's, the Haydens, the AJ Bowies, you know, the Janoris Jenkins. I don't think they're going to go for those kind of guys. I think they're going to go for a young guy. Your thoughts on that?
I agree, unless there's an issue with Byron Jones. Remember, this guy's going to be 30 and
something. Yeah.
It's coming off season search. So obviously, if something happens with him, then they got to go big name. Sure. But yeah, they're not signing a proven, established guy like we mentioned, Chris Harris, AJ Bowie, Joe Haydens, Xavier Rhodes to be the fourth cornerback and the only play if you go
right.
Seven DBs or something.
And the money that they're going to give you to play that position, they're going to say, those guys have made money. They're going to go, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'll wait for a better opportunity. That's what they're going to say.
Correct. You know? But right now, right now, Keon Crossan is going to be your fourth quarterback. And the kids look good. I mean, the guys look good.
How old is he?
He's been in the league 4 years.
Okay.
He was a bit handsy. He had like a PBU down the sideline against Scotty Miller on Saturday night. One of those plays where half the time you're going to see that flag come out for DPI or defensive holding, but they didn't call it. So, you know, it's a great play then.
But the other thing, he was stride for stride with a guy like that, which is not easy to be with a fast guy like that. So I give him credit too. That he's had his moments, man.
No,
there's no doubt. All right. I talked about this on Saturday. I get it. He scored a touchdown. He's not good enough to be on the roster. Sam Agüevan is a nice player. It's a great story coming from the CFL. He's done a fantastic job hanging on to the back end of the roster. But when I'm watching a Cameron Good, when I'm watching Hodge, and I'm watching some of these other guys that I see, I think I'd rather spend the roster spot somewhere else. You can get drunk on the touchdown, but if you watch on that one drive where he must have made three brutal mistakes, he reminds me so much of Larry Izzo, yet he's not the elite special teamer that Larry Izzo was. So Larry Izzo was such an elite special teamer that you would, you know, it's like Obafemi, what was his name, the other linebacker that...
No, yeah,
I am Mendejo. God bless him. An exceptional special teams linebacker. This kid is not an exceptional special teams linebacker. He's a serviceable special teams linebacker. You need to get better. And just by Cameron Good alone, that's what I'd rather have on this roster. Nothing personal against the guy, but I think that the good time story needs to end from the CFLer. Your thoughts?
Well, by the way, just for the record, since he also was a former CFLer, the linebacker was Brendan Ayanbadejo. Obafemi was a fullback.
Yes. Yes, Brendan. Yeah, that's right. You're right. And he was an exceptional special teamer. Man, he was so good.
No, he won the Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Ravens.
No, completely agree with you. I mean, it was pretty glaring. how deficient he was in coverage. Bad angle on the tackle. He had a guy in the open field, missed it. The guy wound up with, like, I don't know, 12 more yards. Took the long way around on a screen pass, letting the guy get outside.
He went under
instead of over, put himself in a better position. Yeah, no, I agree. And then, let's be honest, I was semi-surprised he made the roster last year, to be very honest. I mean, 2019, the Dolphins were so talent deficient that, yeah, absolutely. And he actually wound up starting like 11 games or something. But they got significantly better in 2020. And then 2021, kind of surprised he hung on as long as he did. I don't have him making the 53-man roster. Yeah, it was great that he was right place, right time. But let's not kid ourselves that Darius Hodge who made that.
Hodge made that. And he's looked good in camp, Hodge.
Nothing but play.
And by the way, I like what I saw from Cameron Good, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm impressed with Cameron Good. That looks like a nice little find. And we talk about guys multiple. He was playing on the line, and he was playing a linebacker, dude. So you can kind of move him around a little bit also on top of that. Good athlete, man. Nice little find. You think about Skyler and Good at the back end of that draft?
Yeah, no, I was about to say, I don't think Skyler is the only seventh-round pick who put himself a lot closer to the 53-man roster with their play Saturday. No, I like Cameron Good also. I like Tindall. I thought he had a good game also. Showed me something both on special teams and on defense with his ability to make tackles in space, which – We mentioned Egwuevon, who absolutely struggled in that department, and those two actually did very well, particularly Tindall with the open field tackle.
Yeah, I mean, the Egwuevon story is nice, but it just shows you that you're not good enough at that position if you're keeping a guy like that. And God, it reminded me so much of Larry Izzo. But Larry was an elite special teamer, so you can tolerate it, you know? Larry was God bless you, Larry. You were an awesome special teamer. But when he had to play linebacker, oh, wow.
It was also tells you the roster is better. Also tells you the roster is better.
Yes. 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 You're right about that. That's definitely. So out of Good, Gustin, Hodge, talk to me about these under-the-radar guys. Give me a guy you love.
All of them. I mean, Darius Hodge to me it was interesting because they claimed him off waivers from the Bengals last year. Doesn't play, then got suspended for two games by the league. So it's like, oh, boy, you're not helping your cause. But the Dolphins, I was half thinking they're going to waive him right then and there. They don't. And then this summer at training camp, I noticed the guy every time he's on the field. I mean, he's not very big. He doesn't look all that fast, but the guy just gets around the quarterback.
For a team that doesn't have enough money to pay for scouts, talent does go through Cincinnati, bro. It's really amazing. Oh,
no, that's and kudos to the Dolphin pro scout who spotted that guy and go, yeah, let's bring him in. And then Porter Gustin, I've discussed him before. Like, I'd never heard the guy's been in the league 3 years. I'd never heard the name when the Dolphins signed him in June. I'm like, whoa, let me go dig up. Who the hell is Porter Gustin? And then camp starts, and it's like, oh, here's a sack Gustin. Here's a sack 96, sack 96. And then he made another play. On that crazy interception where Elijah Campbell, let's be honest, it was a complete fluke. The ball went right through the hands of that's a lucky interception, but hey, he made it. It's Gustin who's got his arms wrapped around the QB's knees. And early in the game, if you recall, there was a holding penalty on Tampa Bay where I think at first they were quick to say that Jalen Phillips drew the holding. It wasn't Jalen Phillips because the guy they called it on was the one who was trying to block Porter Gustin. So the guy just makes things happen.
This team is now better because you're allowing the personnel guys, and I think you have three exceptional guys in Greer, Allen, and McKenzie. You're allowing them to do their job where they're not having to fight with the head coach constantly because the head coach thinks he's Mr. Personnel and he has an opinion on every player you bring in. And it was really frustrating for that front office to have to deal with that. Now McDaniel is more than happy to have the job and to do the coaching part and let these guys do their thing. And I think if you allow them to do their thing, they'll find guys, they'll unearth guys, not just, you know, the obvious draft picks, but the street ones and trades and, and stuff like that. They'll find other players. And that's why I ask you about these other guys, because there's some guys now on the periphery that were like, hey man, they're getting better. They're adding some depth in certain areas. And I know corner is an issue, but we start looking at the D line and the linebackers, there might be some options there now developing.
No, I think no, because the Dolphins had a vacancy on the D line when they waived Adam Butler with the failed physical designation. Now it looks to me like Gustin's your guy. I'm okay now with the depth of linebacker. What they don't have is a complete off stud off the ball linebacker. They don't have that. Let's not kid ourselves. But they have numbers. Right. Now your concerns in terms of depth are the offensive line and cornerback.
Right. I'm with you there. All right. What are you working on over at alldolphins.com, sir?
Man, it's not stopping these days. It's 11:56. I got a 12 dropping the roster projection 2.0. I've kind of dropped subtle hints here and there. We're going to continue to stay on top of the great Dolphin cornerback search. I have a part three of the latest mailbag that I got to drop this afternoon. And then there was something else I was going to do. And there'll be something else. I'm sure there always.
There you go. His bags are dropping. Check it out. AllDolphins.com. Follow him on Twitter at PoopartNFL. Alan, thank you. As always, we'll catch up later on in the week, my friend.
You got it. Have a good one.
You got it. There you go. That's your Sports Grill, which, by the way, they're hiring. All right, Bird Road, Miami Lakes, the Doral location. All positions are available, from hostess all the way to cook, baby. It's all available out there at Sports Grill. All right, that's your Sports Grill report.